Troopers, I just received new orders. Our superiors say the war is canceled. We can all go home. Bison is getting paid off for his crimes, and our friends who have died here will have died for nothing. But we can all go home. Meanwhile, ideals like peace, freedom, and justice, they get packed up, but we can all go home. Well, I'm not going home. I'm gonna get on my boat, and I'm going upriver. No, who wants to go home? And who wants to go with me?
This week in Mormons, by Mormons for Mormons. Lots of talking, but never ever gets boring. Rounding up the humorous stuff in the news about Mormons. Can't wait to see which one will they choose. This week in Mormons.
Oh, yeah. It's the middle of the week, and you know what that means. It's time for This Week in Mormons, the premier Mormon news podcast that is not always weekly anymore, but we don't care. We're sticking with the name. We're not changing it to...
We got a lot of name brand buildup in that.
Yeah,
we need it.
If we change it to This Sometimes Week in Mormons, it would be Swim, which would be terrible. Or
oh, that's fun.
This Month in
terrible.
Mormons, Tmim? Tim?
No. Anyway, we're This Week in Mormons, people. You found us. You've been looking for us. We're here.
I'm starting to almost feel bad about our modified schedule. People make comments, not mean ones. They just seem to. I've just seen a lot of things here and there. Just, you know, hey.
They say, will you ever come back? We say, is there life out there? So much I could know.
Is this Three Doors Down? They performed.
No, that was.
For the first time in years.
Is there life beyond? My friend, that's Reba McEntire is what that is. Hold on. Yeah. My family and my home.
Yeah, my maximum exposure to the country music world is watching the show Nashville. That's all I got.
Oh, you love that show. Is that worth watching? Is that a good show?
I don't even know if I'd say love. You know, sometimes you get into a show early on and you just kind of stick with it even when it's not as great as it
Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, there we go. It's like season 7.
Didn't you watch Gilmore Girls too?
I've seen all of Gilmore Girls, and we watched A Year in the Life, of course. It was the event of the winter.
Oh, my gosh. Think of all the cool things you could have done with your life besides watching Gilmore Girls in Nashville. You could play an instrument.
I do play instruments, Al. You seem to forget that I'm already a very talented individual.
You could have read a book.
I've already been reading many books. I read Martin Short's autobiography, and it was fascinating.
I read Steve Martin's autobiography and thought the same. Martin Short's was good.
Steve Martin and Martin Short are actually good buddies in real life. There's some overlap there. He mentions Steve Martin many times. It's a good book.
What does he say?
Steve Martin's a great guy, and I love. I don't.
No way. So what's an interesting thing from Martin Short's life?
I don't. It's just like you could appreciate this because you love comedians, especially.
I do.
You learn about one's past and one's story and achieving what
if he reads it on Audible, I'm gonna buy it right now.
He very well might. So it was a fun read. I mean, it was good. I enjoyed it. Right now I am reading Rough Stone Rolling. I'm really getting in there. I tell you what, this Bushman character.
Wait, you never read Rough Stone Rolling?
Neither have you, Al. Neither have you.
Neither of us have.
Yeah, I'm ashamed to admit this. So, as we mentioned on the show before, they called me as a gospel doctrine teacher, which has been very fulfilling and enjoyable. And I think when we last spoke on the show, I was working on the First Vision lesson, and I felt a lot of pressure about it because I was trying to incorporate all that new material covering different versions of the First Vision, make it worthwhile. Long story short, I did tremendously well. It was a bigly good time. It was amazing. It was the most attended gospel doctrine lesson ever.
I've heard great things.
In the world. And that was fine. But leading up to that, I was kind of like, oh, I learned a lot. It was good. That's what I enjoy about the calling. But my wife's like, wait a minute, you haven't read Rough Stone Rolling? And I professed that I had not. I always meant to, but I never
did. Why she got a hate like that? She always does that where she
doesn't hate.
You didn't read Rough Stone Rolling, blah.
She immediately went on to jeffbezos.com and ordered me a copy. And it was great.
Oh, he's great, Matt Bezos.
And it was great.
What a visionary.
So it's been delightful. It's much denser than the Martin Short autobiography, as it turns out, which I would just commuting on the bus, I would read like 100 pages a day. Boom, boom. It took me like 3 days to read the book. It was great. This rough stone rolling, slower going, my friends. There's a lot more going on in this book. A lot more going on. But it's...
I can only imagine.
But it's very enjoyable. Thank you, Richard Bushman. I still haven't forgiven him for sitting next to me in church one time and not even talking to me. But I still love the man. Thank you, Richard and Claudia.
It's Claudia. He seems like a nice guy.
It was great. How's your life been, Mr. Al?
Hold on, I'm all done. I just bought... Martin Short does read it on Audible. Thank you, Abadol.
There's a little bit of profanity. I'm warning you in advance.
As long as Martin Short says it, I'm fine.
Okay.
I am just... Oh, man, that makes me happy. I love finding a good new book. You know a book I read recently that I thought was delightful? Shoe Dog, the Nike story. I thought that was really good.
I thought that was like a sequel to Air Bud, something like that.
Now, I thought so, too. 13 hours later...
That's
the dog
a story
still hadn't shown up.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I was like, what is going on?
You ever seen Homeward
My life
Bound?
Is good. I'm just cruising. I had a week in Hawaii, got nice and sunburned, and I'm back in Utah
that
now.
Sounds tough.
Waiting for more snow, so that's what we do here. Suffering. I think I'm coming down with asthma because of the inversion. I think that's what's
happening. Dude, I don't know how doctored that picture was. Did you see that photo going around that had a picture of the old city and county building? And you could see you could see where the inversion
stopped.
It was
from like 2009.
And then the mountains above it. I don't know if that was, you know, if they worked up the contrast
I've lived that horror some
That
days.
Is, that was disgusting. Looks like Beijing, man. That's terrible.
I do not love Salt Lake for mainly that reason. I think that it just does a really poor job taking care of itself.
Isn't it sad? And but, I read recently, the guy, because Salt Lake puts on, I think, isn't it the biggest outdoor apparel
The outdoor expo? Outdoor retailer show. They're looking
to move it to Colorado.
Because Colorado keeps it clean.
Yeah. Colorado.
You can go outside in Colorado.
In their defense, the populated centers of Colorado on the Front Range are next to the Great Plains, so any of the pollution just keeps sweeping out to the east, whereas the reason you get the inversion in Utah is because it's actually nestled in mountain valleys.
Yeah, so they're nestlers. No, we should be banning all petroleum-fueled cars and only going electric.
The air quality.
When you get off the on-ramp, there should just be parking lots. Or the off-ramp, you just park in a parking lot and have to either walk,
yes,
take the tracks, or drive a Tesla.
This just make everyone... No, but Chevy Bolts now, buddy. Just Chevy Bolts
I bet Tesla would sponsor us. We could get free signage and some cups and water.
How is the charging network in Utah for the superchargers in Tesla?
I see them all at random spots. Like, you'll be at the Smiths in Farmington. You're like, what? What's this doing here?
Yeah.
I don't know. I imagine if that was the only way for me to get home, I'd notice them a lot more. But right now, I use the traditional, you know.
Well, it's smart to put those in. I see them when you're driving out in the west in the middle of nowhere. It's like in the parking lot with a Carl's Jr. And you have to wonder if Carl's Jr. ponied up some cash for that. Because if you park your Tesla to Carl's Jr.,
you're eating.
I mean, it's like
McDonald's and Redbox. They're like, absolutely. Exactly. When you're going to get a movie and you're like, and then buy two cheeseburgers.
You're right there. Because if you're at the Carl's Jr., you're not going to bother to walk across the street just because there's an Arby's or a Jack in the Box over there. You're like, I'm parked here. I'm good.
So I went and saw the founder speaking at McDonald's.
Ah. Huh. Yes.
The Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Who was the original and greatest Batman of all time.
Sure.
And that was a show that like left me very depressed. I went and ate my sorrows as I downed 12 chicken nuggets and just...
Oh. You want to talk about a tempting deal? The McDonald's by my office is selling a 20-piece nugget, large fries, and a large drink for $5.99.
How? See, this is what's wrong
with
me. This is the obesity epidemic.
I don't even want
to eat
that.
Because for $5, you get a Little Caesars pizza. You can't afford to eat healthy when you can get... For $5.99, you get a French fry, a drink,
a large
and a thousand chicken nuggets.
Yeah, usually I think a 20-piece nugget on its own is like $5.
Jeff, you can't afford not to eat those chicken nuggets.
But you feel so disgusting after you eat McDonald's. It's just terrible.
It's really true. It's but delicious.
It. It's sort of.
I've decided to start eating healthy, Jeff. I got signed up for a charity boxing match. This is a real deal. Remember my friends from Colorado that took me to a gay bar out dancing?
Yes.
Well, so this girl, she was a pro boxer. And, you know, like on the Olympic team, the whole bit, and she runs a boxing gym. And signed me up, like, you know, it was one of those, like, hey, you should come and be in this series called Founder Fights. And I was like, yeah, that'd be fun. She's like, all right, you're all signed up. You're fighting this guy. You need to lose 20 pounds and be ready by May 14th. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
So wait, is it like entrepreneurs? Is it all startup-y people?
Yeah, so it's startup
only
guy
in Boulder, right?
Guy.
They get a bunch of startup people to fight each other.
Well, so the guy that I'm fighting, I messaged him today. I was like, hey, man, this is pretty crazy. And he's like, I know. I've been training for the last 3 months. I'm really excited. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? He's like, yeah, I'm down like 30 pounds, and like, it's really amazing. And I'm just like, okay, well, I'll try my best not to die and at least give you a good run for your money. So today I'm like, all right, I'm cutting all this food out. I went and found my boxing trainer guy. And Jeff, I'm going to, I took my first class when I was in Colorado and I could not move my arm. It was one of those moments where you're like, I made a huge mistake.
But
because on TV, it looks so easy. And then you're in there trying to keep throwing punches and you're like, I'm just tired.
But how tall is this guy you're going against?
6'1".
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, I got a reach on him.
I mean, he's short.
There's
he's
been a
shorter
lot of
than
tall
me.
Guys that have been beat up by short men.
I mean, let's be clear. He's shorter than me, and you could take me down. So that should make you feel
Jeff,
better.
Did you ever see Rocky? I thought the whole premise of that movie was Drago is huge, and he still beat him up.
He killed Apollo.
That is the tall guy's biggest nightmare. When we watch that movie, we have nightmares. It's terrifying.
Yeah, but then you could do the inspirational training montage. It's perfect because you're in the mountains, in the snow.
Yeah, which is Philadelphia, classic Philadelphia mountains.
No,
snow
you
range.
Forgot the plot. Rocky goes to the USSR and they put him up in some shack
in
Siberia.
In the cabin, that's right. And I could pull a plow through the field.
Exactly.
I'd be like, I just got to get strong.
Of course, right. That part always made me upset because he's in Siberia and they show him climbing steep, jagged mountains that don't exist in that part of the world. But whatever. Whatever.
Hello. Whatever.
It's fine. Yeah. It's like when you watch Independence Day and none of the geography there makes sense, but whatever. Now, if you want to be uplifted, Al, I recommend seeing La La Land.
I loved La La Land.
Oh, good boy.
I thought that was great. It was such a well thought out love story. Like I got to the end and it wasn't trite. I didn't feel cheated in any way. I was just like, good job.
Good job. I mean, we don't want to. I know a lot of people still haven't seen it, but I thought the ending was great. Many people took issue with it. I loved the ending. I thought it was dynamite.
So this is funny because I walked away and I was like, man. I should write Emma Stone a letter and tell her how much I appreciate that. And I was like, wait, no, that's what crazy people do. And I was like, no.
Do it, Al.
But
do it.
But
do
she
it,
moved
do it,
me
it.
So. She, as one famous person to another, I need to tell her how much I appreciate. And I was like, no, you can't do that. You can't write fan
she
mail.
Was
in, okay.
She was incredible. I mean, Ryan Gosling was fine, but Emma Stone was incredible.
They did a great job. They did well, and I mean, I had some buddies who were like, oh, La La Land, don't see that, man. That's a chick movie. Don't. And
well,
I was
the backlash
into all that. Yeah. Like it was a good musical.
Yeah, I thought it was a great book.
I was very happy. I love that you love that show. That makes me really happy.
We went and saw it. We actually had a sitter come over, and we went and saw it for our anniversary. We don't, you know, getting out is not as easy. So we went out on a Thursday night and just went and enjoyed the movies together.
You wild and crazy kids.
It was wild, let me tell you. I'm thinking of now, I think one of these days I might just go see Rogue One. I still haven't seen it. I might just go out like by myself at night, go see Rogue One.
Yeah, is it still in theaters?
Somewhere, I'm sure. I might get it down. I might get to the Dollar Theater by the time I'm done. It'll be good. So I'm
Jeff. Just go to it.
Well, I don't even know what I'm doing here recording this show. I should be. Well, I forgot my son's here. I can't leave him alone. Dang it!
Where's your wife in all of this? Why doesn't she stay home and watch
my
kids
wife
so you can go
is
to movies?
A very busy person.
I thought that's what marriage was like.
My wife is the young women's president now, and what that means is she's gone like many nights a week, taking care of things. So that's just what happened.
I don't know a lot about marriage, but this I know, Jeff. Start keeping tabs of all the nights she's gone, so that you can get those back on the other side.
That's the hope. But
and you'd be like, hey, all right, I've been keeping score and I've earned 3 months off of parenting.
Except I think it's more like, I think she's getting them back now for all the time she had my back when I was the Elders Quorum president for years and, like, you know, doing the show every week and such.
Well, you just set yourself up for the failure.
I'm just trying to be fair.
Well,
I know that now we live in Trump's America and who knows what fair even is, but still.
We have not spoken since we've found ourselves into Trump's America.
Not
when they got up and they said we'd like to release Barack Hussein Obama with a vote of thanks.
Hey, that was my joke.
For his last 8 years of service.
You're stealing my joke.
I did.
Oh, you're
it was funny.
I wish they would do releases. I feel like it would be more cathartic.
We needed something. We needed, like, could you imagine all of America solemnly raising their hand to the square and saying, thank you, Barack. Except for my grandma and grandpa, they would not. They thought that he was the devil.
Well, I mean, you know, what with the Muslim and such and everything, I mean.
Hussein, his name was, I still can't believe we elected a man whose name was Hussein after such a close brush with Saddam Hussein. That feels like a harsh tie.
I thought it was great. It's like we had all the
drama. If my name was Al Unabomber Doan, I would expect to get a little more flack for that than maybe some.
Look at it this way. We had the whole war, the whole Iraq war and the big mess and all that there, and it's basically our just desserts where the powers that be say, guess what? Your next president's actually going to have the name Hussein in his name. Just to teach you people a lesson for all this WMD nonsense.
Well done, God. Yeah. Well done.
Fair is fair, right? Fair.
This
is fair.
Guy.
Yeah, we've had some. You and I have. I mean, we've had some interesting discussions ever since inauguration, a couple 3 or so weeks ago. It's been interesting to watch.
Yeah. If any of you would like more political dialogue, please reach out to us individually. We'd be happy to enlighten you.
We have some people message us on our Facebook page with no context and just send us stuff from Breitbart.
They're just like, who should I vote for? And we're like, we can't. We're politically neutral.
We're not allowed to tell you those things because of the Johnson Amendment, which is restricting our speech.
I never knew the name of the Johnson Amendment until all of a sudden it's like, this shouldn't be there anymore. And I was like, wait, what?
Let's talk about the Johnson Amendment briefly. So for people who don't know, the Johnson Amendment came around 60s, I want to say. I might get the dates wrong. But
was it a thing to endorse for, like, churches? It was a thing for churches to endorse candidates prior to. And they still do it now, don't they?
Sort of. There's a great article by Common Consent that talks about how there's one time a year when evangelicals actually have a Pulpit Freedom Sunday where they intentionally violate the law, but the IRS doesn't do anything. So, excuse me, what the Johnson Amendment means is that in order to maintain 501c3 nonprofit status, you cannot endorse candidates. Now, you've seen the church speak out about issues in the past, and I think that's where the line might be a bit blurrier, but...
Hey, Jeff, shut up with that coughing.
So anyway, but they can't endorse candidates. And Donald Trump, President Trump, said at the National Prayer Breakfast in between talking about his wins and Arnold Schwarzenegger and all sorts of things.
So great.
He managed to mention that he wants to get rid of the Johnson Amendment. Now, what's unclear to me is if they were to nix the Johnson Amendment altogether, would that also nix the nonprofit status? So would the church become a for-profit entity? And that, therefore, because it's paying taxes, it is also allowed.
Is the Johnson Amendment the only thing keeping a church as a 501c3?
Essentially. And I'm not going to pretend I know all the tax code. Let's look here.
Let's
look at Cornell Law School.
I think even before the Johnson Amendment was there, there was still tax-preferred status for the church.
When did we actually get the tax-preferred status for the church? That's a good question. And we don't have it everywhere. This is very much a U.S. thing. There's other countries in the world the church pays taxes, and then the taxes are public record because of that. So
is that real?
Yeah. UK, I believe. I think even Canada. I think Canada, most of the church's finances are on the books. You can check it all out.
We have to know.
So we have. So the main thing about the Johnson Amendment is, what would that mean for us? Let's say it actually gets done away with. And we won't even talk about whether we maintain nonprofit status or not.
It's not the point of the conversation.
So the point of the conversation is, if they were to get rid of the Johnson Amendment, do you think the church would embrace it and speak out and actually ordain candidates, or would we hopefully just kind of continue as we are and just sort of quietly back issues that might be relevant to us, but not go beyond that?
History, I think, points towards us continuing to remain candidate neutral. And I say that because, like, well, in Joseph Smith's day, I believe he did endorse specific candidates. That went away. That went away into the, the Brigham Young, John Taylor days, I think. And it's hard because in the early days of the church, the interests of the church were so closely aligned to a specific candidate that you almost didn't even have to come out and say their name. You knew exactly who they were talking to. The ones that didn't hate the Mormons. And then as time went on, I don't know, because the only gray area then is like from 1900s, from the Joseph F. Smith day or the Joseph Fielding Smith days through what, the 50s or 60s? When did the Johnson Amendment come in?
Oh, I might as well keep
the
talking.
60s, call it the 60s. So there's like 60 years there where it's like, was the church endorsing candidates then? I haven't read anything about that being a thing. Like, I think they've always sort of been a candidate neutral. Well, after
it was in the 50s, and it was actually put forth by Lyndon B. Johnson, who would go on to become president. That's the one you can blame. Old Senator Lyndon B. Johnson. Anyway, many years Republicans have sought to repeal it because they think it restricts free speech. But it was tacked on there to maintain nonprofit.
I like it being there for one, but
I don't mind it. And I'm with you, Al. I don't think the church would out and out endorse candidates, because it would just be too divisive. Like, how would you feel if you have one point of view and then the church says no? You should vote. How would it have been in this election? Let's just do a hypothetical, because I'm convinced that the church
That's not how the evangelicals do either. They get up there and they say we love our brother.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm doing a stew voice. We love our good brother. This guy. He gets it all. He does it all right. Like, he's our guy. And I don't think if you weren't going to vote for them that you'd necessarily feel marginalized in the congregation. But
that's playing the game a little bit too. Like, if we were free to endorse completely, what if the church came out and said, "Hey, Utah, you should vote for Evan McMullen"? You know, like, that would, I think it would cause a lot of problems. You'd have, of course, among any Democrats in the church would say, "Well, this is messed up. Are you trying to tell me I'm wrong as a Latter-day Saint?"
What if you're Mormon? You'd be like, "Where's my agency in this?"
Yeah. So I think it would get murky. So I agree with you. I don't think it would change much, and I'd be uncomfortable.
It would turn into like wielding political power, where they were just like the kingmakers for Utah.
Yeah, though the upside to this, of course, is if it were to get overturned, you know, if like the church had to start paying taxes and such, it would fulfill the every desire of Fred Karger. Fred Karger, ladies and gentlemen, is that guy who's trying to get people to help him. Expose all the crazy things the church is doing with his Mormon Tips website.
The church would just be like, "Yeah, here's how much we make," and he's like, "I knew it."
So we've talked about this a little bit before. He wants to challenge the church's tax exempt status, saying the church is too politically involved. And he made a commercial for his Mormon Tips. I love the commercial because it's not saying we have all the information. It's basically saying, if you happen to find any information, give us the information. But this ad was blocked by Comcast. You probably heard about this a few weeks ago.
Did you notice the same thing I did, where like they were shooting it in such a weird way? The lighting was weird or something, and everybody looks really sweaty.
Everybody looks sweaty and slightly out of focus, and it's an alarmingly bad video. And in a day and age when it's not very hard to make semi-professional looking videos for relatively low cost, it's Bush League. This guy doesn't know what he's doing. But anyway, he made his lame commercial. Comcast didn't want to air it, namely because he made allegations that he stated as fact in the ad. And Comcast is like, "Yeah, you don't have any proof that the church has $1 trillion in assets. So we don't want to be liable for anything." So he fixed the ad. And now Comcast is cool with it. And so... I haven't been in Utah. I don't know if it's airing yet. I don't know if you've seen it or anything anywhere in Utah, Al.
No, I don't watch TV because I'm under 40.
That's probably for the best. I haven't seen anything. I have no idea. But
If you got to spend a fortune and you don't want to help starving kids in Africa, you might as well spend it airing ads of sweaty people asking for you to dig through dumpsters and find dirt on the church. But the starving children in Africa would appreciate maybe a chunk of that. We should encourage him to at least spend a portion of his funds on helping the needy.
There will
as
be no
the church does.
Yeah, but you know, it's got to get rid of that tax exempt stuff, man. It's messing it all up. We're just money for days. Money. If anyone sees the ad, let me know. You can basically see it on YouTube, but I want to know if it's been on.
Well, no, you've watched it. It's in the article that you linked.
It's in the article. I'm just saying it would be funny to be watching TV and then seeing that come on. Help us.
Why would that be funny? I feel like you're passively endorsing this weird guy's ad.
No, Al, unlike you and your passive endorsements of Donald Trump in the past, I am not passively endorsing.
Son of a bee.
That's right. Truth will be on my side.
Never.
History will vindicate me.
All right.
Anyway, carry on.
I feel like that was something you've been waiting to say, Jeff. Do you feel deep down?
I feel like a heavy load has come off of my sternum.
Good. Now you should go poop. there's another one. So this Miss Provo Melissa, I call her. Of course.
That's
Miss
her
Provo
name.
With Provo. Melissa spelled M-A-L-I-S-S-A. You jerks. A girl I used to date, she named her baby Sailor, S-A-Y-L-I-O-R. And I was like, you monsters. Why are you people this way? Like, what satisfaction do you get out of making your kid correct the teacher every time they try and say their name? Anyway, Miss Provo Melissa hyphen Richardson. So she started a petition on change.org that got 5,000 signatures in 10 hours for Snapchat to allow you to not have to look at all the scandalous Discover. So on their Discover tab,
which
they have
is
advertising.
Pretty bad.
There's a lot of which Kardashian wore this sexy swimsuit the best, and I can't believe this famous model was almost naked on this boat, and it's like, well, I should at least click that to see. I don't know.
Well, and this stuff you don't care. Like, I'm looking at mine right now, and it's got, let's see, something from The Bachelor says, let the crying begin.
Yeah, you watched The Bachelor.
A shocking meteor is coming straight for Earth.
You need to know about that.
22 celebrity yearbook photos you won't even... I can't even begin to tell
it's
you.
It's not bad. It's just spammy crap.
Why are Nicki Minaj's fans freaking out?
Got that boom, ba boom, 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 ba boom, boom, bass.
This is why I don't use Snapchat, because I hate stuff like this.
So anyway, she was frustrated that there was no way to filter that. She had a brother that was using it and felt like he shouldn't have to look at it. And Snapchat responded. So the big behemoth, raising $3 billion in their IPO, responded and said, we will fix this wrong.
Did you invest?
Now, the tools they're given to fix it are just for advertisers to be able to choose which ages receive their content, so like they can restrict it so that 15-year-olds aren't seeing their dirty stuff. But
which they should, because Snapchat's very popular with the youth set. I would be uncomfortable having a teenager and knowing what they could see just by going to their
stories. I'd be uncomfortable just having a teenager.
Well,
teenager on Snapchat, never.
It's like, I'm not even ready, man. You don't even have any kids yet.
Ethereal messaging, I can't handle that.
Anyway. By the way, speaking of apps, have you seen this mutual dating app? It's like Tinder for Mormons.
I saw the ad for it. I'm happily dating a woman, so I no longer jump from app to app.
I mean, I guess it's been around for a year on iOS, but they've got a Kickstarter so that they can develop an Android.
Let's try it, Jeff.
Clearly, it is slowed down. It's slowed down because I saw a lot about this a few weeks ago. And they're not even halfway to their goal.
We're trying it. We're going to pull down this mutual dating app and see if we can find us some hot babes.
Hey, it's about time we move out of the singles ward, if you know what I mean.
Whoa. What?
Did you really just say that? What I meant to say was...
Did this really just happen? Have I actually Understood.
Now, what happens, of course, if you, let's look at the top level pledge here. If you pledge $500 or more, you are the Good Samaritan of singles. And apart from making it possible for thousands of single Mormons to improve their dating lives and find great matches, we'll give you a bucket full of premium memberships you can give out to anyone you like. So all you get, you just,
ooh,
you can give away premium memberships.
Ooh.
What do you get for the low access? Nothing useful? For $10? You don't get anything. You get project updates. Who cares? Pre-match messaging. Oh my goodness. I like that you're bothering to download this to see.
No, we've got a profile.
I'm telling your girlfriend that
she listens. She listens. She's okay with this.
Girlfriend, I will keep your identity anonymous, but you know better than this. You know better. I'm saying you can do better than him.
Than me?
No, Al. No one can do better than you.
Let's see here. And, oh, this is a good one. That's a sexy photo. And this one.
See, I can't even play around with it because I have an Android phone. I have no recourse. Oh, terrible.
So swipe up to... All right. Okay.
This is compelling radio.
Swipe. Oh, I can see more. Okay. Let's get started. Let's see what we got.
Show me your screen. What is happening here? Okay. Well, Al is figuring that out.
So here's Caitlin. We like. Let's.
You like?
Not Caitlin. A match. It's not a match.
Why not?
It didn't work.
Is the app broken? Oh my goodness! Look at her hat. How can you say no?
She's got a Pharrell hat. I mean, so people are going to find love on here. I think that this is what they've all been waiting for.
The way to get even more good. Superficial with our approach to dating as Mormons. It's very important.
Yeah, no, that's we've been waiting for that. So thank you, Mutual, for doing your part.
And frankly, now, I don't know why the church doesn't just buy it and pay for the app. The church is so concerned about YSA wards and the like.
This continues to be a real problem of like what happens, especially this injunction between or this junction between not injunction, this junction between being like 30 to 35 and 35 to 40. I mean, the idea is that like you make this big jump and then everybody that you're surrounded with is your age or older. It's like when you're an 18-year-old in a singles ward, everybody's older. You have no business being in that singles ward. But when you're 31 in a mid-singles ward, everyone's older than you. And you're like, this is not, I'm still dating 25-year-olds. What am I doing here? And the churches, they just have a very poor transition in there, and they don't really know what to do with us single folk.
I'm telling you, they need to invest in the Mutual app. Now, that is a little confusing because it's called Mutual, so it makes it seem like it's for 12 to 17-year-olds. So I don't know about the branding there. It should be called something better like YSA Bonanza, for example. I really think everything should utilize the word Bonanza. It makes everything better, including the old television show Bonanza.
Yeah, nobody knows. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Just, you know, Haas.
Let's see.
I'm changing Sunday School Bonanza. It's going to be called Sunday School Haas from now on. That is the new name of the program. Sticking by it.
Okay.
Did you see that BYU, not BYU, I'm sorry, but Boy Scouts is going to now allow transgender individuals. So obviously it's still Boy Scouts, but essentially if you're a girl but you identify yourself as a boy, you may now be in the troop.
How old are you when you make this decision?
Well, it can't be before 8 because of, you know, accountability and such. So if your 7-year-old spouting off about that, he or she does not have a clue what they're saying.
If your 9-year-old feels like their gender is misaligned, do you take that serious? Like, are you, as a 9-year-old, do you...
I don't have the answers on that one. That's a tough one.
I don't have the answers either. I wouldn't get... I feel like to make that decision, it's like, this is a big decision. Just in my mind, I want to say, just hang in there until you're 18 and then let's talk.
Well, yeah, or you say, you know what, here's what you do. You watch some Anthony Bourdain. It'll let you still enjoy some of the cooking and things like that, but with a bit of an edge. And
we'll reel you back in.
Then we'll work our way up to Gordon Ramsay.
There's actually a serious question that I've wondered about for a long time.
That's tough. Especially if it's a kid that old, yeah, that's tough. I mean, how much is it exactly?
And to have like a 10-year-old girl, I feel like there's a lot of 10-year-old tomboy girls.
Exactly.
Or a lot of like 10-year-old boys that don't like playing in mud and are interested in the finer things. And like we have such a social sort of projection of the norms that we place around the activities that we want to partake in that I think there's a lot of confusion that's out there.
I agree. I mean, it's just tough. Where's the line between kids just being kids and then your kid actually saying, no, I feel like I am not what I was born to be? I don't know. I don't have that answer. I don't know if any of our listeners have dealt with that. I would love your insights if you have
them. It's interesting that the Boy Scouts are just like, yeah, we're in. We're in.
Now, what remains to be seen is what this will mean for the church. The church released a statement saying what you kind of expected them to say. We're reviewing it, and we'll see. They did the same thing when Scouts opened itself up to gay members of the troops. And the church made sure it had its exemption. They've always allowed an exemption for religious based troops.
I don't think this will affect the church's ties with Boy Scouts at all.
As long as they still get their exemption, they're not going to care. You just have to wonder at what point does the church kind of wash its hands of the whole thing and say, you know, maybe we could just do our own kid, young men program and just not do the scouting anymore.
I wonder what's going to be the straw. The church is really bad at trying to replace scouting. I've been in places where it doesn't use the scouting program. It just tries we're going to go on campouts and stuff, and it does a really bad job.
Well, I mean, half of the world doesn't use the scouting program. I mean, most of the church doesn't use scouting.
I know, and like if you go to Europe, you don't go on campouts. They don't you don't get any of that side of.
Well, that's Europeans in general. I mean, come on. I mean, you got to admit a lot of the scouting ethos is very American in and of itself. I mean, these ideas of
that be Jesus based? I think Jesus was a camper.
Honest. There is no camping and wilderness and such in Europe, but you know what I mean. The love, the great wide open, all these things that we think of with scouts,
nature. Yeah.
That's Western. You know. The United States. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had some European
That's
scouts.
The United States.
With all their socialism.
Yeah. But I mean, they still, they'll like try and do activities and try, but you lose a lot of the purpose and the drive when all you're trying to do is entertain youth instead of like achieve something like a rank of some sort.
Sure. Now, but how much of this is achievement-based, like what you're talking about, versus just the numbers of the church? Like, because if you were in a scouting program in an area where there weren't a lot of youth, which it can happen stateside, I imagine the experience is not quite as fulfilling as it was like where I grew up, where we had one troop per ward in our stake, and so we loved our scouting troop. It was all of us guys that were in young men's together in our ward, and we had the numbers to sustain it. And it was a big thing, but if you're in somewhere where it's a lot smaller, it can't be nearly as fun. When you have to double up on, triple up, quadruple up on wards to make one troop, or you have to pal around with non-LDS troops, which is the worst. But it's got to be different. And I imagine Europe
it's still
is
a bunch
similar.
Of guys getting to be buddies with a bunch of guys. That's what you're
Yeah,
doing.
And Europeans don't know how to be guy friends with a bunch of guys.
I disagree with that.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
Thank you. Let's see. A lot of interesting things at BYU Idaho right now.
That's the first time that anyone's ever said that. But continue.
President Eyring's son is taking over as the new president of BYU Idaho. So where President Eyring used to be there, he's now conferred it to his son. He said, "And I hope that someday you give this school to your son."
This is like King Mosiah,
also named Henry J. Eyring.
If I can interject, Henry J. Eyring is becoming the president of BYU Idaho because President Clark G. Gilbert is leaving BYU Idaho and being reassigned to head up the church's new BYU Pathway Worldwide program.
That's Kim B. I like the Pathway Worldwide.
No, that's not Kim B. Clark. That's somebody else. This is Clark B. G. Gilbert.
Oh, Clark Kim, the Korean doppelganger.
Yes, yes, Brother Park. So anyway, what happened here, if I could interject real quick, you've heard of the Pathways program. It's been going on for years, a great way for people to get an education and get involved in the BYU experience at a low cost and without as much red tape. So that's grown now into Pathway Worldwide, which will be a much more expanded program offering degrees, all the whole nine yards. The church just announced this, actually, this week. It's brand new. And so they've tapped President Gilbert to head that up, just thus leaving a vacancy for President Eyring to of course, christen his son as the president of BYU.
So he used to work at the management consulting firm Monitor Group.
Sure.
He was a director of SkyWest Airlines.
That's
and he was a special partner with Peterson Capital. I wonder if my guy's Peterson now.
SkyWest Airlines. See, that's when you're booking a Delta flight and you look at the fine print and see that it says flight carried by SkyWest Airlines and you're like, dang it!
He was also the mission president for Japan Tokyo North.
Well, that's pathetic.
He was the Marriott School of Management BYU MBA program director. He's done some stuff. All right. Well, as long as he's eating at Chick-fil-A, he's qualified to run BYU Idaho.
I don't think they have a Chick-fil-A in Rexburg.
Yeah, you're not. Whatever.
I don't think it exists.
Let's see.
That's big news, though. The Pathways thing is big news.
Yeah, Pathways is huge because this is like their graduate program for the world. And it's isn't it like naturalized to the different areas? Like
in a way, yeah.
I mean, Philippines is going to pay less than California.
Yeah, and well, what's cool about it is it's the church reinvesting in education programs, because years ago they wanted to back out of it. You know, they started closing a lot of their schools. President Hinckley said we weren't going to be like, after BYU Idaho, he said, you know, we're not going to have like another university anywhere. But this is different because it's online. It goes along with the information age and the way we do things nowadays, and it's a great way for the church to stay involved in offering an education, an attainable education, to a number of Latter-day Saints or others. And also, you don't have to have an ecclesiastical endorsement with Pathways, which is very interesting. So if you want a beard or worse things.
I predict that the honor code rules follow the Pathways ruling.
Never.
I think beards will be acceptable soon, Jeff. I have to believe it.
Oh, yeah?
Also at BYU Idaho, we have a young man, what's his name? Devin McCabe. Of Salem, Utah, who lived next to six girls as a horny 23-year-old man. Do you do? Well, you go and sneak a camera into their towel rack and in their bedroom. The girls found these cameras, turned the dude in.
I thought he drilled a hole. He hid cameras?
He hid cameras.
Sneaky.
Pin cameras in their apartment. So they catch him with the bathroom one, and then he's like, He says, McCabe, who attends BYU Idaho, and is friends with the girls, admitted that he also put a camera in the bedroom.
Oh, boy.
That poor guy. Buddy, what you got to do is you just get married early to somebody that you don't necessarily love, but that you met and is willing to have sex with you, and then you get married and have an unhappy eternity, but you get sex. I mean, this is what everybody else in your religion has done. Don't be the outlier.
Hundreds of years.
Hundreds of years. This is how we do it.
Speaking as a side note, presumably we will both be alive for the church's 200th anniversary in only 13 years. That'll be kind of cool, right?
Oh, man. What if they made every temple do another cultural celebration for the 200th anniversary? They said, we're just going to run them rapid fire. Go, go, go. Kids everywhere.
Oh, man. The Medford, Oregon cultural celebration. Mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing.
Fresno.
Oh, it's true.
Gosh. It'll be wild. Well, that's... I mean, the BYU kid, that's just...
I think it's funny.
You think it's funny. There were some heartfelt comments on our Facebook page about this.
Now he's a sex offender, and
well, he's like a troubled kid. He's, you know, there's stuff going on upstairs that needs to get sorted out. So,
well, if nothing else, this serves as a wake-up call, much like the confirmation of Betty DeVos serves as a wake-up call, where we never cared about the Secretary of Education, except that she ran Battlestar Galactica as the president there. But now we're like, wait a minute, these people need to be qualified. They've been running our schools into the ground. We should fix this. The same, this man who we thought, we didn't even pay attention to him, and all of a sudden he's peeping on women, and we say, this guy needs help.
And we clearly should have. Well, yeah. Before we leave the world of academia, just a couple of other quick mentions here. LDS Business College got a new president. Bruce Kush was named the 13th president of LDS Business College by President Uchtdorf. So,
BYU is losing their ROTC program to UVU.
Oh, yeah. I didn't add the one there. That one's very interesting. So the backstory.
Oh, there's a backstory?
Well, they're not just going to lose it. And none of this is official either. But basically, it seems that there's a non-LDS Air Force officer to run the ROTC program who, I'm going to get the details wrong here, like won't live the honor code, or there's something along these lines. BYU expects all of their teachers, LDS or not, to live the honor code. For whatever reason, that's not a thing or going to happen here. So BYU might lose the entire program because the Air Force will just take it to a state school where that won't be an issue. Where the Air Force officer can
is there drink. Only one ROTC program in an area?
No. Oh. In the area, I think BYU's got that locked down pretty hard. But what I don't know if it would mean all of the ROTC, because I don't think they only do Air Force. I think they have a couple. So I'm not quite sure how that would be. But they might lose it to UVU. You're correct, though.
Mm-hmm.
No more. Also, some criticism. We talked a long time ago after BYU Provo came out with their study about sexual assault and how they were going to overhaul a lot of things, try to work on this. You know, they heard everyone's voices. So they've hired some new Title IX coordinators, but not everyone is happy because they hired Tiffany Turley and Lisa Levitt, two alliterative names, to be the Title IX coordinator and victim advocate, respectively. But people take issue with this because they were both inside hires, and essentially everyone's saying, you don't have experience in this. Why are we giving it to you? Just like Betsy DeVos. Why are we letting you do this? You have no background in these issues, but we're going to let you have the job anyway. It's happening all over America, Al.
Everybody, people are being hired for jobs that they have to aspire to and have not already defaulted into.
I don't want to get too political, but it's kind of funny. And this really isn't just this administration. When you think about the way politics works, in any other setting, even in regular government jobs or in the private sector, if you had somebody, say, like Betsy DeVos, who was interviewed, her interview was effectively her confirmation hearing, and if you bombed an interview that poorly, they would move on to another candidate.
Yeah, do you think she went home and she was like, nailed it?
I know.
They'll be calling back.
That's what's so funny about political appointments, because in any other circumstance, you'd be like, yeah, we're not hiring her.
We'll be split 50-50 and Pence will break the tie.
Pence did break the tie today.
He sure did.
I've just always thought that to be very amusing. And I think it's been highlighted perhaps a little bit more in the past couple of weeks, but this happens all the time. It's just so funny. Like, why can't we just appoint people who aren't political donors and just say, hey, guess what? You're a really experienced, capable individual. We'd like you to come do great things here.
No.
I know. I've been watching too much Leslie Knope. I'm all idealistic.
One of the other ones. Oh, there was some Harry Reid stuff. Did we not talk about this before? How,
I don't think so, but people gave us a lot. People really don't like Harry Reid.
Anyway, so Harry Reid, you may not know this. He was a Democrat, and he lied and attacked Mitt Romney. So we, knowing all of that, he seems like a nice guy. There's a great sort of expose on him that was fun to read. He gave a little bit of insight into his world. And he had a quip in there just about how nobody's been harder on him than fellow members of his faith, which should shake you a little bit. I mean, it should make you be like, oh, yeah, we didn't mean to make you feel driven out and isolated. That was a mistake. And really, people have. And so there's a little bit of, that piece. And then there's another article in here that we've been talking about. Or let me see if I can find it real quick. Yeah, Richard Davis says, although you may not realize that LDS church members will sorely miss Brother Reed in the Deseret News.
I heard about that.
Another little article just about, like, you don't realize the value of having opposing opinions and people doing work. I mean, like, really, I think that there's a subculture in the church that tries to drive us towards homogenization, just everybody be the same. And if we're all the same, then we're good. And I don't believe that a Zion people means that we all act the same.
No, Al, if you are not one, you are not mine. That obviously means we are
much like the intercessory prayer where Jesus prays for us to be one and the disciples to be one as we are one.
Yep.
The point is in
it means
direction.
We're all Republicans. That's what that's supposed to mean.
It means that we're all working on the same purpose. It does not mean that we all have the same political leanings or that we all understand moral issues or fiscal issues or any of these the same. We need to promote, we need to change that in our religion, in the culture, so that we promote diversity, because right now we're a little bit afraid of differing thought. And we will miss it as he retires. And
not only that, he worked pretty tirelessly behind the scenes to advocate for the church in a number of areas. You never heard anything about it, but he was very busy on that front. That's not to say other Mormon members of Congress are not busy on that front, but I don't know.
He was super busy.
I'm going to assume Jason Chaffetz is not busy on that front. Just an assumption. What do I know? But yeah, it was I felt bad just because we shared some of these stories about this. And even our dear followers, man, people just, like you said, they throw the vitriol at Brother Reed. Especially because
a lot of people blame him for Romney losing. And I didn't realize this.
I mean, it's I get it. And the whole Mitt Romney lied about his taxes and this and that. And of course, that was proven to be false. So I get frustration there. But boy, oh boy, there is a lot of people basically saying, how has he not been excommunicated already? Just stuff like that. And you're like, seriously?
Not a lot of Christian views on Harry Reid.
Yeah, blows my mind. Now, also speaking of Christian views, let's go down to Manti. Beautiful Manti. Manti, Utah, in the center of the state. One of my favorite areas. Arguably home to the best temple in the church. A beautiful building, the Manti Temple. Everyone should go to a session in the Manti Temple if you have a chance. It is amazing. You should do it, Al. Okay, go again.
How dare you? Did you just assume my temple preference? No, I went. Of course I went.
You should go to Manti, and then afterwards in Ephraim, they have a McDonald's.
Oh, finally.
So you can maximize that $5.99 deal I was telling you about. So, in Manti, something is happening very similar to what happened in Salt Lake City years ago. For those who remember, way back when the conference center was under construction, the church wanted to buy a section of Main Street between North and South Temple. That is where today you have what's a plaza between Temple Square and the administration buildings and the Joseph Smith Memorial Building and the big reflecting pool, all that stuff right there. And there's a garage underneath. That used to be Main Street. It used to connect through. The church bought it up. Made it a plaza. Some people weren't happy. They said, why are we selling a public street to a church? Is this going to restrict free speech? Yada, yada, yada. But it happened, and it was a while ago, and there we go. So now in Manti, there's a street in between a bunch of other church properties, at 100 East in Manti, and Manti City wants to sell it to the church, and the church wants to pay twice the asking price. But some people are upset because
now, in the meantime, between the last sale of this and this sale, a lot of people have bought roads that run on their property and land from public entities. This has happened quite a bit. So this is one of up to 10 probably transactions of this type.
I think you're confused. So the problem is this street is used by protesters during the Mormon Miracle Pageant over there in Manti. The street's right between the pageant grounds and a bunch of other church sites. And
percentage-wise, who uses this road more, the protesters or the Mormons that park on it?
Probably the Mormons that park on it, especially because years ago, UDOT actually closed down the street up against US 89. So it's basically been a glorified driveway that the city's been paying to maintain because it's a public street.
Mm-hmm.
So last I've checked, this has not gone through yet, but To be fair to people who are against it, they feel that it's not fair to them, even though all the money is supposed to go to build a new sports complex. The entire Manti City Council is LDS, and understandably, some people would say...
You elect city council members to represent your views, your people.
It's true. It's true. But you could easily see anyone arguing...
Just because they're all LDS does not mean that they are misrepresenting the city's interests.
They're all paid for, Al. They're all paid for. The church.
They're all paying tithing. I think people misunderstand what it's like to be a member of this church. It costs you money. Let's see. So
anyway, a little bit of mini drama going down in Manti, evocative of years past. So it'll be fun to see what happens. What's going to happen?
I think the people that show up and say, "How dare you sell this to a religious institution?" don't understand how real estate works. And how buying and selling of real estate works. And how city governance works in actual managing a budget.
Should we go down there with some signs that say, keep 100 East free? Should we stand there?
Just no, I want to protest that they should be able to sell it.
You know what's funny is I've been watching Parks and Rec lately, and...
where do you get the time to watch as much TV?
Commuting. Sometimes if I don't read, I watch Netflix. So I just found that in the current political climate, it seems that the people of Pawnee predicted how things would be today. You watch Parks and Rec now, and it's all true now. It's quite hilarious, actually.
It's so true.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Let's see. One other one. Changes in the missionary schedule. This was a big one. So now, if you are in a part of the country, say Spain, where you have a siesta in the afternoon, you're able to go out earlier and then come home in the middle of the afternoon and do your study and things, and then go out and work. Like, you're able to adjust your schedule to meet the needs of your area.
Question: does this mean the missionaries themselves can adjust it on a case-by-case basis, or are they
great question, Jeff.
The mission president can adjust.
No, the mission president will adjust.
So it's the same thing we've been doing for decades.
That's right. If you were not a wanker missionary, you were suggesting these changes and getting these changes based on your area as needed.
Can we talk about how weak the missionaries are today? They get up at 6:30. They have exercise time.
They go out and do exercise time?
Yeah, well, I mean, they realized they needed to actually give them time to be physically fit.
A direct quote from my mission president was, "If you'd like to work out, 5 a.m. is wide open."
That's what mine said, too. And the kids, I had one missionary in my apartment who actually intended to become a Navy SEAL after his mission. So he was up and made his poor companion get up and go run like 7 miles a day.
Did he make it?
I have no idea. No one knows what happened to Elder Fish. Many of us have sought him out. No one knows what became of the fellow.
He's definitely a SEAL.
So he's probably a Navy SEAL.
You've answered your own question.
Anyway, I mean, look at this. They get to go out later. They come in by 9, and they go to bed by 10. They have an hour and a half from the time.
No.
I would come in, and I had like 40 minutes until I had to go to bed.
Yeah, if that.
If that. Because you know why? I stayed out late teaching people. They're in bed by 10:30. I'd get home at 10:30.
Oh, yeah. What were you doing? You were doing that thing where you teach people about Jesus. That's right.
Yeah, I was busy doing that. I wasn't busy exercising.
Sorry, weenie missionaries.
Taking extra time to plan. You know when you take time to plan? When you have a slow day and you have no visits lined up, so you stop and you sit on a bench for half an hour and say, "Hey, let's plan a little bit." That's when you plan when you're a missionary.
We scheduled planning. We might have done it a little differently.
Or you schedule it during companionship time. But sometimes, like, you'd be looking around and be like, "All right, it's a slow day. Maybe we can find a way to make some better use of our time right now and just try to regroup a little bit here. And we'll couple it with some ice cream. Let's make sure we do that." I don't know. This is great.
People...
Did you work on a different schedule on your mission, or did you just follow the pretty typical North American?
Well, at one point when we had that puppet show, we'd leave the apartment at 7 in the morning or 6:30 in the morning and go work doing this show, and then we'd come home in the afternoon, move our study and stuff to there, and then go out and work in the evening. Also, we did, during the winter, when it would get really cold, we would stay inside and, like, use our morning hours, our 8 to like 11 hours, and bake goods to take to
nice
inactives and things. And then we take them around just so that we weren't trying to contact out in the negative 20 degree. Well, see, what we did is we followed the spirit. And I feel like that's what every mission president should say. Is like, I don't care what you do, elders, follow the spirit.
What time did you have to come in usually?
9:30.
Yeah, normal time.
Yeah.
Ours was adjusted a little bit because Spaniards are late night creatures. So we didn't go out for the day until 10. And then we were not allowed to take siestas, actually. Well, Spaniards might. We were forbidden from taking siestas. It was explicitly laid out. Preparation day, you could nap, sure. But
yeah,
other days, no. But then we went out from 10 to 2.
What's crazy is like back in the old days, dude, if you got called to serve a mission in Spain, you'd go there and like live like the people. You would take a siesta.
Which makes perfect sense, because if we would have tried to force the North American schedule on Spain, it would never work.
Right.
We'd be like, let's have lunch at noon. And everyone would be looking at us like, we're all at work still. We all come home from work at around 2 for mediodía. Talk to us then. Yeah, it just would have made no sense. Or then let's have dinner at 5 or 6. Spaniards have dinner at like 9 p.m.
I know. Crazy.
You've been there. So I'm glad to see this is official. But once again, it's just like preach my gospel. We're kind of like, okay.
Yeah, the good missionaries when Preach My Gospel came out were like, we weren't waiting for this. Thanks for writing the book, though.
Amen. Well, Al, I feel that's... Oh, and lastly, Rudy got baptized. Yeah. From the movie.
That's true.
Rudy. Real life Rudy got baptized, folks. So it can happen to you.
Church is true.
Great Nicolas Cage movie.
The best. Wait, was he in that?
It could happen to you. Nicolas Cage and Bridget Fonda. Remember when he wins the lottery?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. I thought Nicolas Cage made a cameo in Rudy, and I was really excited.
I don't believe there's a Nicolas Cage cameo in Rudy.
There's not. There
and I actually don't like Rudy, so I'm not going to watch it to find out.
What are you talking about?
Rudy annoys me. The character annoys me. I'm like, shut up, squirt.
Oh, my gosh. I can't.
Go get a job.
I can't even. Anyway,
I don't want to know Rudy's dreams.
We've not gone anywhere. You're welcome to continue to talk to us. I know we're not here as weekly as we've always been, but email, we miss you. Contact at thisweekinmormons.com, please.
And really, if you want the show to be on, you are welcome to record your own version of This Week in Mormons next week. And if it's even remotely good, we'll just publish it on our own feed.
Submit it to us.
This is us. We are crowdsourcing the show.
Send us 10-minute snippets and we'll build our own.
I almost did the 60-second podcast. I almost went rogue and made one last week without telling you. Just for fun.
That would have been amazing.
Just publish it.
Do it.
It would take me so much time. Anyway, and social media, our Facebook page is a thriving platform of discussion and intrigue. We hope you'll join us there as well.
Hatred and vitriol. Absolutely.
Well, there's some people throw that out there, but hopefully we can all love each other a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know.
Jeff, it's
my good friend.
To see you. Yeah.
And you. I will. In March, we will reconvene or something. I'll see you when Dave.
We're trying our darndest, people. We do it when we can.
Yeah, but of course, look out for Sunday School Bonanza, which has new episodes, everybody, and we're getting in on that. So there's good stuff. I don't know what you're doing, Al. Is that peace?
It's love.
And happiness. So for Al, bye, Al.
Bye, Jeff.
I'm Jeff. Be well, be holy.
No, no.
It's This Week in Mormons in the camp.
It's something about the girl.